I'm Laura Locke, editor of Colby Times. Martin Seawap's life story, from growing up on a reserve near Pelican Narrows in northern Saskatchewan, to pursuing studies today at Calgary's Bow Valley College at the age of 52, has more twists and turns than many novels. Martin worked the trap lines with his family as a child, ran away many times from residential school in Prince Albert, accidentally killed his brother while drunk at a party, and learned to read using a Bible as his textbook while in prison. And that's all before the age of 25. Here are some excerpts from our conversation with our friend Martin as he recounts some key moments in his long journey to belonging.
And then that time, but I was still going through a hard time, and I was sitting in a cell when the Salvation Army guy came in there. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was a police officer. He was wearing that hat, you know, because I was from the reserve. I'd never seen anything like that, right? You know, what is this guy doing here, you know? And he's telling me about Jesus right there. So as he was starting to talk, I started to feel this a wave of God's presence coming in me, and it was melting everything inside of me. I felt like I felt clean. I felt like a little baby inside of me. He told me, he says, "You want to pray with me?" And then for the first time in my life, you know, I cried. I cried like a little baby. Because I still had a lot of hostility, right? You know, especially towards authority figures. I didn't want anybody to control me. Towards the end of my drinking, it was before I came over here. You know, I was walking. I might have been going home that time. I was totally drunk, right? And then the cops, they found me on the side of the road. And they found I wasn't breathing, right? You know, I didn't have no pulse. Mm. So they called an ambulance, and then on the way to the hospital, they revived me, right? And I remember I sat up, and there was this nurse right in front of me. She says to me, "You're one lucky guy." She said, "If the cops didn't find you, you wouldn't be breathing right now." She said, "You wouldn't be alive." Like I could have been dead. But, you know, but I think maybe God has a purpose for me, right? You know, like I had so much, you know, hate towards authority because of what happened to my brother. It took them 45 minutes to respond to the incident that took place. So I blamed them, right? I blamed them, you know, for not being there in time. It just comes to prove, you know, like this, you know, God was using, you know, the authority figures, you know, to save my life. I haven't really forgiven myself for killing my brother, right? You know, I haven't really. And I remember that one evening I went to bed, I was drinking, and I actually, you know, had this dream where these stairs that were kind of illuminated. I started climbing these steps, right? The more I climbed, you know, the weaker I got. All the strength was kind of sapped out of me, right? And I thought, well, I might as well give up. I don't have, you know, what it takes to climb anymore. So I began to fall back, right? But then as I was falling back, somebody grabbed a hold of me from the back, and my whole body was swaying back and forth. I was wondering what was happening, and I looked, and there was my brother. He looked at me, and you know, and I could see, like, you know, love in his eyes. He says, "Keep going," he said, and he pushed me back to the steps. And I remember that time grabbing onto the steps, and you know what? I never looked back to look at him, eh? I just grabbed onto those things and I just started climbing. Mm. And I remember waking up, right? Mm. And then that day, I said, you know, I better do something about this. I feel, you know, I still struggle with God's love. It's been many years, right, mm-hmm. you know, of abuse, of, feeling that God was against me. You know, it's definitely changing me, but I'm just, you know, I need to be patient, to relax. I know that he's there, but it was just like my dad, right? I knew he was there, but sometimes he wouldn't talk or wouldn't say anything. So there's that void, you know, that's still happening in my life sometimes, right? I guess, you know, this is where I need to develop my relationship with God, you know. But I don't feel that, you know, invisible anymore. I just feel that, you know, I'm only beginning to live my life after 50 years of living, right? I've only been living it for 2 years, right? So I'm only 2 years old, I guess. Yeah. God is a lot closer than the air that we breathe. I mean, he's there, you know, but he's not there to command, right? But he's there to take care of my needs. You know, like I've never been hungry, you know, since I sobered up. I never had to go without a shower. I have a bed. I have a home. I have things I never had, you know, before when I was drinking. I don't have to wake up sick in the morning. I don't have to worry about, you know, what happened, you know, yesterday. You know, I remember what happened yesterday. So there's a lot of things, you know, that I'm set free from, you know, I worry less, right? Mm.
Thanks to our intern, William Draper, for putting together these audio clips, and to Philip Wagle for his beautiful music.